Welcome back to the latest episode of EIQ Cast. My name is Ross Levanto, your host, and I'm joined today, as always, it seems, by EIQ Network's product evangelist, John Linkus. John, welcome back.
Thanks, Ross, and thanks for listening in, everybody.
Today we're talking about Conficker, the worm that I read online today, John, that there was a rumor that this might actually just be one big April Fool's Day hoax. And I'm not sure if that's true or not, but
we'll find out tomorrow, won't we?
It's a fair point, but you know, and Conficker obviously is a worm that everyone says is going to be triggered tomorrow, April 1st. And worm spots and other malware, they're not new, John, but it seems like this particular worm has a lot of people concerned.
It does, and I think with good reason. If you look at Conficker, and it's also known as DownUp or Keto, it's got some very interesting aspects to it. One is that it's really good at trying to hide itself. So once it gets onto a system, it's doing things like automatically looking for and trying to disable antivirus services that are running on your system. It actually goes in and can unpatch some key Windows systems files related to NetBIOS and some other services. So you know, it's really a nasty piece of malware, and I think it kind of represents sort of the next level of where a lot of malware is going, which is, you know, not just can it get into a system and propagate, but can it really do a great job of trying to hide itself.
And you know, we pointed out the fact that this particular worm has had a patch available for quite some time, but there aren't that many systems that are actually patched appropriately. Is that what we're hearing?
It is. The Microsoft came out with a patch in October 2008 as one of their regular Patch Tuesday upgrades, and that actually included a patch for the initial attack vector that Conficker uses to get into networks. The problem is, if even one system inside of a network is not patched, and Conficker gets a hold of that system, it will use that system as a base to try and attack everything inside the local network that it can find, which is typical of what you find with you know, with worms and other types of malware. So it's you know, it's very malicious.
So even if a network manager is confident, security manager is confident that his or her systems are patched, there still is that possibility that it could sneak into an enterprise.
Absolutely, and particularly with the fact that, again, as I mentioned, Conficker has a tendency to go in and try and unpatch patched code. So even if you can go in and see that, well, you know, add remove program says that I've installed, you know, that particular patch, you know, that prevents Conficker from getting into the system, that's probably not enough. You really need to be able to go down and take a look at that file and do some file integrity checking on it, make sure that that those key system files are not updated or compromised in any way.
So, John, let's assume for a minute that I am a security manager and I wake up on April 1st. What sorts of characteristics across my network should I be on the lookout for to see if perhaps my network has been compromised?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, with one of the more common comparisons that I've heard people using for Conficker is the SQL Slammer worm that hit in 2003, which, of course, sort of the same thing. Everybody woke up one morning and all of a sudden there's massive amounts of SQL traffic moving across the network and databases are inaccessible. We're going to be looking for similar types of patterns here, although not necessarily with SQL. One of the things we know about Conficker is that several of the variants try to set up a web server on some unusual ports on systems. So, you know, it's going to basically install a scaled-down HTTP server between ports 1024 and 10,000. So, you know, that's one thing organizations can look at. You know, do you have any unusual services? First off, of course, you need to be monitoring for that, but you need to look and see, you know, am I finding things like web servers on off ports that I don't normally expect in my environment? Another thing you can look to are things like changing system policies on your Windows domain controllers, your group policy objects. So Conficker is smart enough to recognize that it has to, if it can, it will try and disable or change account lockout policy so that it can try and brute force attacks on network shares that are out there. Tied to that, of course, is going to be things like system performance and network traffic. If you've got servers or even workstations that are really bogged down, there's a lot of network traffic there, and in particular, you see a lot of net bias traffic, which is one of the primary payload traffic delivery mechanisms that Configer uses. You need to be looking for that, and of course, that also goes to say, well, goes without saying, look at your vulnerability scanners. Most vulnerability scanners have some signature profile for Configer, and they can tell you in most cases whether or not Configer is infecting a system or not. So it really takes a broad range of data, everything from, again, knowing about configuration data like services and daemons that are running on systems to, how group policy is configured and SNMP and system performance data, network traffic data, your vulnerability data. All this information pulled together is really what it takes to determine whether there's a problem, and then of course the ability to do the root cause analysis and drill down on that data to figure out where the intersection of all these problems lie.
Of course, this somewhat fits, of course, into what we talk about ADIQ networks in terms of the fact that you have to get a more of a holistic view of what's happening across your, in terms of the security posture of your network by getting information from all these different data sources. Especially since I just want to back up for a second. One thing that you said earlier, which I want to make sure is definitely overstated to an extent, and that is the fact that we should expect more of these types of nasty variants of worms as, let's say, the writers or promulgators of these specific worms get more sophisticated.
Absolutely, and not only should we expect the footprint and the behavior of the malware to become more more advanced, we should also start expecting the payloads to change. Early versions of worms simply in early cases really didn't do anything. They simply went out there and just kind of infected from one system to another, and about the most complex thing that they did was take up network traffic and bandwidth by trying to propagate themselves. Configer is very different. Configer has an ability to actually go out and receive executable code and execute programs and executables on the Windows system that's compromised. So that could be everything from a keylogger to a network sniffer to you name it. In terms of executables, could be installed through Configer on a compromised system, and that could lead to all sorts of malfeasance.
I think it's fair to mention it just from almost a curiosity perspective, the sinister, I guess, reason for worms like this, and you kind of alluded to it, is to do something to the machine, take over the machine or install a keylogger is what you mentioned. Is that kind of what, I guess, the folks behind the worm writing are trying to get out of this?
To a degree, yeah. If you look at early worms, back in the late 80s and early 90s, even before the internet as we know it, at least the World Wide Web portion of it, really existed. A lot of those early worms were really done and propagated in academic environments. The purpose was let's see if we can actually make it do something. Let's see if we can actually exploit network traffic, and let's see if we can just get from system A to system B. And that was certainly a nuisance, but it pales in comparison today, where you've got organized criminal enterprises that are employing people in China, Eastern Europe, India, and even here in the United States to specifically develop code like Configer for the purpose of going out and collecting as much personal information as possible, whether it be credit card data or any other type of bank information, any other type of information that they can use to then turn that into money. Make no mistake that the number one driver today for the creation of malware like Configer is criminal and is associated with generation of cash.
Scary stuff. Well, thanks, John. We're out of time today, and we'll be watching to see what happens throughout the day on April 1st and in the days ahead with this particular worm. I know that, John, you also filed a nice blog post that summarizes a lot of what we discussed here on the AIQ Networks blog. But for now, that's all the time we have. Thanks again for joining us.
Great. Thanks, everyone.
And this has been the AIQ Cast.
This podcast was produced by EIQ Networks, a provider of enterprise security and compliance management solutions. For more information, visit EIQ Networks on the web at www.eiqnetworks.com. EIQ Networks, security and compliance management, redefined.